What a tremendously beautiful hymn. If you turn to 2 Thessalonians, turn in your Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. When he got to Thessalonians, when I talk about Paul, I always think of a second missionary journey. It was fascinating to me and how Thessalonica was almost, there's only one city that was further, if you look at the maps. It's as far away from Jerusalem as he ever gets when he's speaking to this church. Paul and Silvius and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure. I'm going to stop right there. In this first chapter, he encourages this group of people. Paul does, or the three of them do, because he kind of speaks as if, you know, he literally says the letters from the three of them. Paul is sharing with us that he wants to encourage the body, this church body, this body of believers, with praise. He prays them for what they're doing. And then he goes on in verses 5 through 10, and he encourages them with the promises of God. And then in the latter part, he encourages them with the power of prayer. That's verses 11 and 12. But tonight we're just going to look at this encouragement of praise. He starts off here, said, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting. And then he says this word, because. Because of your faith grows exceedingly. You know, his faith, you know, when we talk about faith, we're talking about belief. And he is no doubt speaking of the belief in Christ. The belief in the gospel message and how it was central to their life. Their belief was so powerful that they were consistently thanking others for it. And, you know, basically boasting on them. It says, it grows exceedingly. That is a compound word in the original language. The primary word for grows is found a lot in the New Testament. It's found for babies growing this way. It is found for plants growing. It is talked about, it's used in the other New Testament books, the epistles, to use it just for spiritual growth. But only here is this have this phrase hypo in front of it. And that hypo in front of the other word means that it's phenomenal. It's exceed. That's why in the New King James, it has the word exceedingly. It was trying to, this exceedingly growing. It is not, it's beyond what is normal. It was just beyond what anyone would imagine. That is really, really a sweet truth. Not only does prayer change people's situation, so does praise. And Paul knew that. And he was bragging on them. He was saying, man, you're doing a good job. Now, all we have to do is think about ourselves for a second. Does it encourage you when somebody comes up to you and sincerely and even surprisingly comes and encourages you and says, wow, what a good job you're doing. We thank you for your faithfulness. You know, that type of thing. It does. We all know it. But the one thing I need to remind all of us about is that we are to gather together to encourage one another. I want to just point out, the Apostle Paul knew the power of this. Often, Satan uses really tough situations, suffering and problems and situations that are very discouraging to defeat us. But the Apostle Paul said there are counters for this, and we as a body are to be counters for one another, and one is to be an encouragement. Exceeding, your faith grows exceedingly. So that was one aspect of it. Job made this statement. Naked I came into came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return to thee. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, one thing we can do is just be an encouragement to each other in the fact that it really doesn't matter about the things here. And there's a lot of people here with things problems, you know. It's problems with, you know, as I mentioned, Stacy and Andre are really frightening for them. They don't know what to do. The truth is, I don't know what to do. I told them I'd pray for them. I told them I'd ask you guys to pray for them. Maybe God will have an answer. I don't know what it is. But they're trying to do right. They've been trying to honor God and do the right thing. And, wow, here we are. So I say that to you. We need to be a blessing. We need to be encouragement. We need to praise one another. Number two, he brings forth this thought of a faith that grows, and then a love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. You notice that in the middle of the latter part of 3? You really need to go back to the third chapter of the chapter of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 12, chapter 3, verse 12. And I'm going to go back there myself. Paul had some words to these people. He said in this is the previous book that he wrote to them. It was months earlier. And in verse 12, verse 11, he'd pick it up. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct your way to you. Okay, now he says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. Okay, why do you think he was saying that? Well, I think he was saying it because they weren't doing a very good job of demonstrating sacrificially giving of themselves to meet the needs of one another. And now, months later, he's coming to them and saying, we thank God for the way you're manifesting love for one another. May it be said about us. And you know how it gets said about us? By you and I individually and personally deciding we are going to plug into those that are particular in the household of faith, particular in the church family, and prioritize it and demonstrate love to them. That's God's way. That is our challenge from the passage. He goes on, so we have this, their faith that was growing, and he was just excited about it, and he was praising God for it, and their love was abounding in the third verse. When I think about that, when Christians suffer, their faith reaches upward to God. And it also likely and should properly reach outward to other believers. Okay, now, times are reasonably tough for some people right now. They may well get a lot tougher, depending on how things go forward in the immediate future. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't change the principle. You and I are supposed to have our eye out for other believers. And to the extent that we can do it, we should do it. Now that, unfortunately, says that in some situations, how many of you have unlimited resources? Anybody have, you have unlimited resources in God, right? But how about materially? No, we have very limited resources. So the reason I bring that up, for me, I've had to start asking myself very seriously, who can I help? I can't help everybody. And I am mindful of what Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says. We are to help one another, but especially to the household of faith. And we need to be mindful of that as we reach out. Because we need to clearly help other believers. Above helping the world in general. Not that we shouldn't help the general populace to the extent that we can, we do. But as it gets tougher, we've got to be asking ourselves how to be good stewards. Okay, I'm leaving that thought. And now I want to go on to the fourth verse. so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulation that you endure. Now, you see, he is about their patience and faith. The thing that I did when I was studying it in a hurry one time, and I made a note in my Bible to not come back to this passage without revisiting what the word patience really means. Steadfastness, long-suffering, perseverance is a better translation than patience. At least in my mind, patience has this concept that I'm just waiting around. Okay? We're not talking about waiting around. We're talking about that steadfastness to the cause that endures in very difficult times. That keeps you strong when things all around you seem to be crumbling. He was praising them, boasting of you among the churches of God for your perseverance, your steadfastness and faith in all your persecution and tribulation. It is a reminder that in many situations, when the pressure really, really gets on us, is when we should be able to radiate more clearly our commitment to Christ. Now, that isn't what is a natural flow here. When the pressure comes up, it is easy to go to carnal behavior. I don't know about you, but when the pressure really gets tough, you even have thoughts and vocabulary that comes to the mind that you hadn't used for years. And say, whoa, hold on a second, I'm not going there. You got to control the mind and say no, because we need to remind ourselves that in these very situations is the time when we can shine brightest by just responding properly. Jerry, do you want to interrupt? Go ahead.
And after that, patience and perseverance come naturally.
If you have a right belief, a right faith in Christ, you're right. That is what it says over and over. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's faith. That is confidence. That is a knowledge of what we really ought to be and who we ought to do, and it ought to mold who we are. Doesn't always. I think of James chapter 1, verse 2 through 5 in this context. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay, now this is telling us when it gets rough, this is a great verse to go read to make sure that you have it right. It says, we are to count it all joy when that happens to us, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That same thought. It perseverance. But let patience or perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to you, to all, liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, the point here is that we are to look at our various trials and tribulations and tough times as opportunities to shine brightly. And that will only come if you decide to do that now. If you wait to think about that concept when you're in under persecution or really tough situations, it surely doesn't flow naturally. So what have I shared here? Or what has Paul put down in the passage? He has told us three things that we can be, primarily we be an encouragement to one another by praising one another. And he gave us three areas that we ought to look to praise. One is we ought to praise their faith. And we ought to praise one another for faith and confidence where we see it manifested. We ought to praise one another where we see love abounding, because it is a good thing. It is of God. It's fascinating to recognize. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind. And how is that to manifest itself first and foremost? By loving our neighbors as ourselves. And third, for this heart of persistence, perseverance, that should be increasing in us as we grow in our walk and our relationship with Jesus Christ. So, I want to challenge you tonight. Ask yourself, how can you be an encouragement to others? Even before you leave the building, how can you be an encouragement to others? A lot of people came tonight pretty worn down. And this ought to be a time when we get fired up to go out and meet the challenges of the remaining part of the week. Amen?